I don't say that, no. How y'all doing? Man, I have missed being here. I'm glad somebody said something, because I was fixing to get on somebody if they didn't say something about that. No, it is good to be back. We went through Easter, and I hope y'all had a good time during that Easter service stuff. I'm going to get this out of the way. I am not in the doghouse again, I promise. For those of you who have been here, you know, last time me and my wife had some stuff going on. Anyways, my wife was not able to be here this time, and I'm going to kind of give you the background story, and it kind of actually goes along with what I'm going to kind of teach on this morning. My wife, over the past few months, has been going through this thing. She went on Ancestry DNA and got some stuff done and found out through this process that she had a sister that she did not know about. So it's been a little bit stressful, I guess you'd say, just trying to get everything worked out and trying to see how that's going to pan out. And her sister, Heather, she knows that one. Yeah, it's, y'all get there in a minute. Her and Heather decided they wanted to meet Danielle. And so they put everything together, tried to get everything lined up, and this weekend was the weekend that they decided to do that. So she wasn't able to be here. Danielle was supposed to leave yesterday. That was the plan. She was going to leave yesterday, and everything was going to be fine. She's going to come up with me, and then come to find out, Leslie's been trying to get her to maybe try to go to church or something like that. Well, she's been staying with my mother and my father. They have a big upstairs, so she stayed there, and my dad's a pastor in Thorsby, so she said, I think I'd like to go here and preach since I've stayed in his house for a few days. It'd probably be, you know, a nice thing to do. Well, come to find out, she's never been to church. So I told her, I think it'd be all right if she missed to take the young lady to church. I thought that was a good thing. So that is where my wife is, and that's kind of why she's been a little bit in and out of things, just because she's had a rough couple of months trying to figure this stuff out. That's a tough situation when you realize, hey, you have a sister that you have never met before. And I can't even begin to imagine how that works and how all that is, but it was just a tough thing for her to try to grasp and figure out. And the bad thing is, my wife's father passed away a few years with ALS. So he's been passed away for a couple of years, and her mom and her dad passed away some years ago. So really, you can't get any answers. So it's been kind of tough on her. But getting on to what we're going to kind of talk about this morning, when we were going through the process of, okay, this is your sister, we're accepting this is your sister, and we know that we can place your dad and her mom in this certain place at this certain time, and that makes sense. When you're putting all those things together and you see how this works out, and you go, okay, well, that was a bad situation. My father-in-law was married at the time. This lady was married at the time. And that's a bad situation. Okay? We would all agree that's just not how things should work. But it happened. You're talking about two lost people that didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about church, didn't know anything about how to do things the right way, got caught up in sin anyways. Something happened. Okay? So then you see, now we've gone past all these years and my father-in-law ends up divorcing my wife's mother. Okay, that was in its right. It had some issues and some things to work through. He got married to a lady named Muffy, which is my stepmother-in-law. And in that moment in time was when he started getting his life right. Okay, he's starting to get his life right. Started getting in church. Started learning more about the Word of God. Got saved. Muffy got saved. And in return, my wife gets saved. His other daughter, Heather, gets saved. Some things that are so bad sometimes don't always turn out that way. You got to have some grace on some things every once in a while. It's all right to sit there and go, that's a bad situation. Maybe that's a bad way of doing it, but that doesn't mean it's always going to be bad. People can still change, but they have to have the right thing to change. Without the Word of God, they're never going to change. But with the Word of God, they can. You can't just write them off. You got to try to help them. That's kind of where we are with Danielle. We want to help her. We want to show her that we kind of love on her a little bit, that we care for her, that she has something more to offer, that God has something to offer her. You see, she's lived a really hard life. She's moved around a lot. She's had some bad things go down in her life and some different situations. I'm not going to get into that. That's not my business to tell you all those things. But she's lived a hard life. But she needs Jesus Christ is what she needs more than anything. I know that. Leslie knows that. But when we were going through this situation, we heard a lot of talk about, hey, you don't need to bring this out. Might taint your daddy's name. Now, I know Brother Howard real well, okay? Brother Howard was a house builder all his life. A man's man. To hunt, fish, taught me how to crappie fish. I love to crappie fish just because of him. Taught me how to clean crappie right. I still don't do it right, but he taught me how to do it. Took me deer hunting, did all these things. Great man, okay? And they kept talking about, you know, it would taint his name. It would do something to him. You know, I think if Brother Howard was alive, he'd say, you know what, I want to meet her. Because I want to tell her what I am now, not what I used to be. I want her to know what I am now, not what I used to be. We get too hung up on this thing about the past all the time. We want to live over here where we were yesterday, instead of living in the future where we're going. And you say, how do you get there? Well, I was reading, because that's what you do, right? And I came across a quote, and I love quotes. And I saw this one, I thought it was good. It says, God assumed from the beginning that the wise of the world would view Christians as fools, and he has not been disappointed. Have the courage to have wisdom regarded as stupidity. Be fools for Christ and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world. What he's talking about is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I was about ready to preach my sermon for this morning now because all y'all going to leave. I'm just playing, not all of you, but some of y'all got to leave. You got some things you got to do, and I understand all that. And so I was ready to just preach my sermon just to everybody that was here. But I'm going to go on and do what I feel like God wants me to do and do my Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It's a very common passage that you've read multiple times. And you know, the world outside of this church right here, everybody that drives by thinks we're kind of crazy, right? You're crazy that you show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals, special meetings. You take your time to go witness to people, to try to help people. And they think you're a fool because of it. They think you're foolish for doing that. But what the problem is nowadays, the ones who walk through the doors think you're a fool. Get real. The ones who are actually walking through the door, sitting in the pews, are looking at you like you're crazy. That's the day and age we live in now. The next generation doesn't care about the things of God anymore. You have an older generation that kind of does. You have a middle generation that, it's losing it. But the younger generation, they checked out. It's not their fault. Let's get real. It ain't their fault. It's my fault. It's my dad's fault. It's my grandfather's fault. It's my great-grandfather's fault. You see, it's been a progression for years and years and years. It's become less important. The things of God have become less important. The preaching of the cross is not what it used to be. People come into church to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the King James Bible is the infallible and inerrant word of God. They don't want to hear those things. Why? Because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable then. But have you ever thought that maybe being uncomfortable is all right every once in a while? It's all right to be uncomfortable every once in a while. When you preach the Word of God, it ought to make some people uncomfortable. Not everybody ought to be okay with it. Some people ought to get uncomfortable. And I'm talking about saved people too here. I'm talking about the saved folks. I'm talking about you that are sitting in the pew that do it every week. Okay? There's some things you do in your life that you sit back and go, whoa, God, that hurts. Trust me, I do it. I'm the preacher. Right? I'm supposed to have it all figured out. I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about, right? But I still get convicted. Because I don't live my life perfect. There's only one man that did that. So I take a lot into this preaching of the cross. I love to preach the Word of God. And here's the thing. Do you love to preach the Word of God? Do you love to preach the Word of God? You say, well, I'm not a preacher. God didn't call me to preach. I'm a lady. I can't preach. We can get on that topic later. Some of y'all might not like it. It's all right. And you say, well, I can't do that. Everybody can proclaim Jesus Christ. But are you? Are you? The preaching of the cross is to them perish, that perish foolishness. If you go down into verse 21 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21, the Bible says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, it takes preaching to save the lost. That's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to proclaim Jesus Christ to everybody that you come in contact with. You can reach people that I'll never be able to reach. I can reach people that you'll never be able to reach. You have friends, you have family members that need Jesus Christ in their life, but do you get so consumed with everything else that's going on in the world that you forget to ask the question, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And I was preaching at the other New Hope last week. And I told them, I said, there's another New Hope I go to. And I like it. I like it a lot, okay? There's one thing I don't like. I don't like that clock back there. Amen. They don't have a clock. I like that. Just preach until I get done. Some of y'all are like, I got somewhere to be. You're going to have to hurry. I told them, I said, I like that you don't have a clock. I said, but here's the difference in it. They got a smile on their face when they start talking about preaching the Word of God that y'all don't have. You see, y'all, I think y'all actually get that you ought to start seeing souls saved to be a good thing. Amen. Some of those other churches, they get to where they're just kind of like, huh. They're those churches that I'm talking about that are coming in the pews and they're just sitting down and they think it's foolishness. They don't think this is important anymore. They don't think rightly dividing the word of truth should be something that you should really care about all that much. But to grow a church, to have a good, effective church, you have to be able to be willing to preach the Word of God. You have to proclaim Jesus to the different people that you come in contact with. That's how you grow the church. You go on down in verse 22, and the Bible says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That ought to get you right there. We'll just stop there for a second. God doesn't always use the wise. God doesn't always use the mightiest person. God used a kid that couldn't talk. I took zeros in speech class. I still don't like talking in front of people. It's just my personality. I don't mind singing in front of thousands of them. That doesn't bother me. Never has. But talking in front of people is hard for me. But God called me. God called you. And maybe you're not going to be behind the pulpit anytime soon. That's fine. But God can equip you to do the things that God wants you to do. You say, well, I don't know all the Word of God. Well, nobody does. That's a shocker, right? Anybody comes and tells you, hey, they know so much stuff about the Word of God, they got it all figured out, I'd run away. I'd run away. I don't care if he's 100. I'd run just as fast as I can. My grandfather, he's turning 88, I think. 88, 89, 110. I don't know. He's really old. He's turning really old. 88, 89, somewhere around there. And he was talking about he gets up every morning and reads the Word of God. Every morning he gets up and he just reads. He's read through the Bible like, I think, something over the past few years, if it's later on in his life. He says he has more time now. He doesn't have to work as hard. But he'll sit outside on the front porch and he'll rock in that rocking chair and he'll read the Word of God. And he'll say, man, I learned something new every time I opened it. He's read it more times than I can even fathom. He's probably read it more times than he remembers because he's losing it. But he's sitting there and he's going, you know what? I can still get something out of the Word of God. I know that I need to be in the Word of God. Why? Because I need to be ready to preach the Word of God when the moment comes up. Get over to 2 Timothy. I'm going to kind of hit in my little sermon this morning, but that's all right. My dad gave me some bad advice a long time ago. I know y'all's dads never did that, right? My dad always told me, so when you start preaching, you got to take your sermons and you got to get them together. You're going to have them in a folder or a book or something, and you need to write where you preached them at. Because if you don't, you'll end up preaching the same sermon, you know, at the same place. And I, for years, I did that. I was like, man, I had to write this down. I got to make sure I'm not. And I'd sit there and I'd be like, man, the points are kind of the same. And I'd sit there and go, I can't do that because I preached that one last Sunday. And I went and heard Walter Ziegler preach right before he died. And I remember this man, he gets up, great man of God, great preacher. And I remember he got up on the front row and he gets up there real old, real old. And he got up and he preached in the pulpit one morning and he gets it, or one evening. I think it was a Wednesday night because it was a Wednesday through Saturday. So he gets up there on Wednesday night and he starts preaching. And he's just getting it, preaching on salvation. Had five people come to the altar and get saved. Everybody's rejoicing, shouting hallelujah. Everybody's just having themselves a time. So the next night he gets up and he preaches the same exact sermon. I'm talking about word for word preach the same sermon. Now me as a younger man, I'm sitting there going, this dude's lost his mind. He has done forgot what he did last night. And you'd be amazed, okay? It's about the same crowd there. I'm not talking about like people coming in that weren't there before. There may have been a few, but this is about the same crowd. Seven people got up and got saved. So we get to the next night, and the Joker preached the same sermon. Three nights in a row. And you could tell that the preacher was getting a little nervous about it. Now, Walter Ziegler, a man of God, I'm talking about close to God, way closer than I'd be asking him what he was doing. And he's sitting there preaching the same sermon word for word. And he gets up there and he sits up, he gets up to his altar call and everything, and all of a sudden, he had three more people come up and get saved. But with those three people, the pastor, five deacons, their wives all rededicated their life to the Lord. And after the sermon was over, he got up and said, that's why God wanted me to preach the same sermon. After that night, I took my dad's advice, his bad advice, and said, I'm going to preach whatever God lays on my heart. If it's the same one, then y'all needed to hear it the next time. So I just don't care if you hear the same stuff. And I get that a lot. I get, well, you preach on salvation a lot, and you preach on, you know, doctrine a lot, and you preach on dispensations a lot. And you do. I understand. I do that a lot because you need to hear it a lot. It's all right to ask saved folks if they're saved. Because I don't know. It's all right to ask them every once in a while just to make sure they're in the faith. But 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, get off of my little soapbox there. Y'all ain't going to hear, some of y'all got to leave. Y'all ain't going to hear preaching. I got to preach a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 4 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. You got Paul telling Timothy, hey, preach the word. It's not always going to be easy. It's going to get tough. It's going to get hard, but preach it anyway. That's the life you live in. It's foolishness, right? He said, I'll take somebody that's a nothing, and I'll let them preach the word of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, when they come in the door and they make fun of me, I do not care. I'm going to preach it anyway. And what am I going to preach? I'm going to be instant in season and out of season. I'm going to reprove. I'm going to rebuke. And I'm going to exhort. And I'm going to do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. We were talking at work this past week, and my boss is one of those kind of people who, if he reads something, he jumps that wagon. Like, whatever it is he reads, he's on it. It's just his thing. So he's about, you know, if he reads a book on extreme ownership that we've read before, that he's going to jump. Man, you get everything, you got to take ownership for it. But if the next week he reads something on culture and how you should have this kind of culture at work, we're on culture. It's just his thing. That's what he does. He likes to read a lot and he jumps back and forth. And that's cool. That's fine. But we were going through the room and we were in our little meeting that we were in as the leaders of our workplace and our different little sections, and we were going through, and he was asking this question. He was like, what do you want out of life? Like, what's your end goal? And it was kind of disturbing because I work in a Christian environment. Now, I say that loosely because I don't know everybody, and I know some things that some people believe don't really match up all that much, but I work in a Christian environment. Most people go to church. Most people have been saved. My boss went through Bible school with my father, and I mean, he knows the Word of God. So I work in a Christian environment. And when he was going through asking this question, they were getting a lot of different answers. Well, some answers were, I want to have a lot of money. That was a big one. I ain't against having a lot of money. I wish God let me have a lot of it. He just so happened hadn't let me do that yet. I'm fine with it. But that was a big thing. I want to have a lot of money. I want to be able to travel the world and do what I want to do. And he was going down and he was asking different people and they were saying different things like that. And some were even saying good stuff. I want to be able to create a good legacy for my kids and for my family. And that's good. I understand what you're coming from. I understand what they're talking about. And then he came to me and he said, what do you want out of it? What do you want out of your life? And I thought about this a lot, okay? This ain't the first time I've heard that question. So I'm sitting there and I was like, well, I could be like everybody else and just say, well, I want to leave a good legacy, have a little bit of money. And I thought about that and I was like, no. God gives you opportunities, you take them. God gave me the opportunity. I said, I want to leave with nothing left. He said, huh? I said, I want to leave with absolutely nothing left to give. When my last breath is given, I don't care if anybody remembers who Chip Pullen is. That is not important. Chip Pullen is not important. I don't care that my kids sit back and go, oh, he was a great man. He was a great father. Yeah, do I want them to have that in their mind? Yes, I do. But that's not what's really important. I want them to stand up in a pulpit one day and say, you know what? Jesus Christ saved my soul because my daddy took me to church. Jesus Christ saved my soul. I know what the Word of God is because somebody preached it to me. Because somebody was willing to sit there and say, hey, the preaching of the cross is important. It's still important. It will always be important. I want them to think that. I want them to think of only Jesus Christ. Not Chip Pullen. Not the things that I accomplished. Everybody says, oh, you sang with Gold City. That's cool, folks. You take you some music lessons, you can sing with them too. They're hiring a lead singer right now. Go get you a job. You'll be disappointed. I loved all that time. I don't care if people remember me because I was a great singer. I want that little girl that had that purple hair that had those tattoos all over when she was 14 years old because she lived in a horrible life. Had them earrings everywhere in her face. You know, earrings where she didn't have ears. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. In North Carolina, we got done singing. We got done singing Midnight Cry, my favorite song. She come down that altar right there. And Danny said, hey, why don't you go talk to her? I said, you bet I will. Because I'm the only one that took a Bible on stage. Yeah, let's get real. Took my Bible down there and I said, you know, what's going on? She said, I don't have what you got. I don't know what you've been singing about. You see, she didn't care who Chip Pullen was. In fact, she didn't even know who I was. She just so happened to come in with a friend of hers. 14 years old, she ain't never heard of Gold City. Some of y'all are like, I ain't either. It's all right. Only old people know who Gold City is. I understand. We hit a certain demographic. She said, but I ain't got what you got, but I want it. You see, I don't care if she ever remembers my name, but I care that she got her life right. Why? Because somebody was willing to preach the word of Jesus Christ to her. Somebody was willing to proclaim Jesus Christ to that little girl. Somebody was instant in season and out of season. Maybe when I didn't think it was going to happen on that stage, guess what? It still did. And because of the things that I have learned, and because of the things that Jesus Christ has showed me, and because of some other people that stood up in a pulpit and said, hey, this is how you witness to somebody, I was able to get down there with the Word of God and say, hey, you got to believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care about your tattoos. He doesn't care about your piercings. He doesn't care about the way you look. All He cares about is your heart. That's it. That's all He cares about. And she got saved. And then I pray for her daily. I got her name written down in one of my other Bibles. I can't even remember it. I think it was Katie. Everybody that I've ever led to the Lord is written down in that particular Bible. Every single one. Their age and the date. I pray for them every single morning. I have a whole list of them. And I pray the same thing for them. God, I hope they really got it. And hope you show them something out of the Word of God. I hope that you make yourself real to them, God. Change their life so that they can help change somebody else's. It doesn't just end with you. You say, well, I'm not equipped. Most people that preached it weren't. People that preach it nowadays are not. You think Paul was equipped? Moses, that was a different one, right? God used him still. He had to have a spokesperson. Paul had an affliction. We could talk about what that is. I think it was his eyesight. I think when God blinded him on Damascus Road, messed up his eyes. I think it may have hindered him in some case. But guess what? He's still preaching the Word of God. He said he endured affliction. He went through all those things, but he's still preaching it. He ends up in jail. He's still preaching it. He's preaching it all the way up to his death. They all did it. Does it mean that they were equipped properly? No, but God can equip you. You believe that Word of God. You study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You've heard me say that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A work need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's what you have to do. It's not what the preacher does. The preacher can get up here and just scream and yell and be red and be mean and be all these different things. But I'm here to tell you right now, it's going to be what you do in your study that's going to change your life. Yes, he can give you some direction. Yes, he can maybe show you some things that you've never seen before and you can study those things a little bit more in depth. But it only goes so far. If you don't go home and study it for yourself, it's not going to do you any good. Some people got this idea that you go into church or you bring your kids and you drop them off and you do these things and they'll hear the preaching of the Word of Jesus Christ and they may do it, but it's not my job to raise your children. I got two of mine. It's not my job to teach her what the Word of God says. It's your job. It's not my job to sit there and raise him. It's your job. It's your job to be able to say, hey, you need to be in the Word of God every single solitary day. It's not my job to come to your house every morning and say, hey, did you read your Bible this morning? Hey, did you pray? Hey, have you witnessed to anybody this week? That's not my job. Did you know that? Shocker, right? Blowing y'all's mind day after day. You kind of have to put some feet to some things every once in a while. Have to grow up. You have to be an adult. You have to say, hey, I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm going to read it. I remember as a teenager, my dad looking at me saying, you know, I can't read that thing for you. My dad's hard, brother. My dad's hard. Like, y'all think I preach hard. He knows. And he didn't even hear him preach, and he was hurt that day. When he ain't hurt and he is really preaching, it's on. He'll walk pews. He grew up Pentecostal, so he still has his shout. He ain't lost it yet. So he sits there, but he said, I can't read it for you. You know that, right? And I sit there, I say, Daddy, I'm dealing with this, and I got this going on in my life, and I don't know how to handle this situation. Oh, have you read your Bible lately? My dad's one of them kind of people, you go to counseling with my dad, it's not fun. You go to counseling with my dad's first question, he go through your process of whatever you're dealing with. I got this going, my marriage is falling apart, my finances, have you read your Bible this week? Well, that hurts, don't it? He said, well, I tell you what, for the next 2 weeks, you read your Bible and then you come back and talk to me. Why? Because that's what changes your life, not what the preacher says. Studying to show thyself approved unto God. Why? So that you can tell somebody else. If I could get people to grasp that, church would be so much better. Man, church would be so enjoyable. If everybody had the same mindset. If everybody in the church said, hey, I just want to see one more soul saved. Just one. I just want to see one life changed. I want to see one rededication. I want to see somebody just get called to preach. Somebody get called to be a missionary. I just want to see somebody's life changed. If we all had that same mindset, church would be amazing. Instead of it being all about you, right? Instead of you caulking in, sitting in the pew going, this crazy idiot will shut up in a minute. It'll be done about now. Because that's what they do. You looking at your watch already? You got to go to work, I understand. It's Sunday school. It's Sunday school. I can call people out if I want to. I just want you to get on fire for the Word of God again. I want you to actually grasp that we have a job to do, and we need to start doing it instead of just acting like we are. Because that's what we act like. We act like we got it all figured. We act like we're good Christians, right? Because we come into church and wear our nice little shirts and I'd say coats and ties, but that ain't happening around here. That's why I quit wearing mine. Figure I might as well fit in. I'm not moving to blue jeans yet, and I ain't that far gone. I only wear a coat because it holds the microphone. But you come in and you put on this air about you, and you know, I'm a good Christian. But what you going to do tomorrow? When you ain't sitting in the pew, what are you going to do? What do you do in your day-to-day life? Do you have a desire to see souls saved? Or does it never even cross your mind? Man, I go to work and we sit there and talk about things of God and I get excited about it. Some of them get mad at me. You're a preacher. I hear that all the time. Well, you're the preacher. You know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. I just give them scripture. You ask a question, I give you an answer. It's not something I came up with. It's in the book. Take it up with the book. I didn't write an air lick of it. They sit there and they say those things, but we start talking about things of God, and I get excited about it. They get excited because we're going to play softball today or whatever. I don't care about softball. I ain't never played a girl sport. I ain't planning on playing one now. Hey, man, right there. I hope I struck a nerve with somebody. Now, they get excited about that. That's fine to be excited about things. It's fine to be excited about. We're going to a sign show this week. Everybody's kind of pumped about that, mainly because we get 2 days off work. That's good. I get excited about going turkey hunting, deer hunting. Turkey season's almost over. It hurts my heart. But I get more excited about that book than anything else. I pass up deer hunting, turkey hunting. It don't matter. To be able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, if I can take somebody turkey hunting and show them Jesus Christ, that's the best way to do it. But if you can't do it that way, I'll give it up. I want to see somebody's life changed. What about you? This morning, I hope that you get something out of the Word of God when I get up here and do my things. I tried to tell you I'd love to be able to get a series together and handle things differently, but coming in and coming out, it's kind of just what God lays on your heart. But I felt like this was pretty important this morning. I felt like it's very important that we start proclaiming Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And just because some people come in and say, hey, it's still foolishness, just keep preaching it anyway. Just keep on doing it. Keep on sharing Jesus Christ. Keep on giving Him the glory. He's worthy of it. He died for your soul when you didn't deserve it. This morning, I hope you got something out of the Word of God. I'm going to let y'all go a little bit early because people got somewhere to be. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the stage you've given us, Lord. I pray that you just help us as we go into the morning service, Lord, that you just help somebody get something out of the Word of God, Lord. If somebody's not saved, they would get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for my sins when I didn't deserve it, Lord. Thank you for shedding that blood for me. I love you, Lord. I love you more than anything, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach again. Preach for these people, Lord. I love these people more than they probably understand or even know or probably ever will know. I pray that you just help them get something out of the Word of God, Lord. Be with the people that are leaving, Lord. They'd be safe the rest of the day, Lord. Pray that you just help us to be able to go out in this lost and dying world, Lord, and see somebody saved, Lord. Help us to be bold and be able to share Jesus Christ with people. In Jesus' name, amen.